Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
Wherever the Spirit blows, wherever it invades hearts, well, there's always joy. But the sad thing for me as a priest sometimes is I hear silent screams, a gnawing unhappiness anesthetized by distractions, trying to fill the void. You know, we're plugged into iPads, you know, our computers, our iPhones, all the time plugged in. And so where is that presence? So nature abhors a vacuum. It fills often with what cannot satisfy. I hear the silent scream in marriages that no longer have love, or in friendships which lack vitality, or in students studying, committed to a field and to a degree, and they're no longer really interested in it. I hear it reverberating confessions. You know, the addictions that sometimes rule our lives, or that addiction to feeling anger or feeling regret and never letting go. All sounds of an empty heart. Now, Nehemiah sketches a very different picture for us. The people have known the Babylonian exile, and out of the miracle of Cyrus, he sent the Jews home. Build your temple again, flourish again. And they came back to Jerusalem, and they were really kind of slow on the building, on really bringing it together. But they had this incredible ceremony of rereading the law. And you think law, you think maybe rules. No. Torah is in fact this teaching. It's God's word they're listening to. And they were convinced of it. And so they threw themselves to the ground. And Nehemiah, after explaining the covenant, says, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad, do not weep, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the Torah." He said further, "Go eat rich foods, drink sweet wines, allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." Rejoicing in the Lord must truly be your strength. That idea of rejoicing, that having that kind of over-the-top happiness, okay? Love it. Of course, I also like the idea of this kind of celebration, my kind of religion. Eat rich food, drink sweet wines. This sounds good. And make sure everyone gets a chance to celebrate. Make sure everyone, send out food to them all. But that lost thought, make rejoice in the Lord your strength. But there's a strange thing about happiness and joy. Sometimes those who are so intent on getting it happen to get it the least. Because their focus is themselves. Their focus is themselves. You know, truly happy people look in a very different direction. Consider the smile of a grandparent seeing a grandchild come at them with a big giant smile. Think about the bride coming down here to be married. Think about a little child holding a puppy. Think about the love you have for someone who's really dear to you. It makes you smile, right? It's not the self that fills their horizons in that moment, but the ones they love. It's the ones they love. You know, our love for God is real as our focus on Him and on each other, even as it is His delight to focus on us. So when Jesus was baptized and received the Spirit, He heard the voice. Remember what He said? You are my beloved in whom I delight. Well, you've been made sons and daughters of the Father. He says those very same words to you. You are my beloved in whom I delight. He says it to you every morning, every moment. He says it. And yet sometimes our hearts are empty and we want to feel that love and we run to all the wrong places, right? And yet God still says, you are my beloved. I don't care how broken you are still His beloved. But if we could hear it, if we could really take it in, then we can begin to rejoice. Make rejoicing in the Lord your strength. Because only thankful hearts, attentive hearts are really full. So that's the very first rule, right? Make rejoicing in the Lord your strength. The second rule is very much like it. Now, Carl Jung was at some meeting, and a disciple of Freud, and he was asked, what would you do if you really were in great depression or anxiety or suicidal or whatever? Of course, all his hearers expected to say, well, go to therapy. He didn't say that. He said, well, I'd leave my apartment, I'd lock the door, I'd go across the train tracks, and I would find someone to help. I would find someone to help. We only find ourselves by giving ourselves away. We only come to ourselves through others. We're made for communion, for community, for friendship. It's the very fiber of our being. When I graduated from St. Mary's College, I had a sweet assignment. I had finished 6 months early. One semester early, those days. And I was supposed to team teach two classes, just two religion classes, at St. Mary's College High School in Berkeley. And I could continue on taking chemistry, another class, and I could continue on with the Great Book Seminar. Loved them both. Not to mention an evening wine tasting class. This was going to be slick. Last minute, the provincial calls. A brother had left the order, and I was to be sent midterm to Cathedral High School in downtown L.A. Inner city Hispanics, thug children, professional teacher destroyers, as I said before. They gave me 7 sections of religion. That's at 4 levels, no curriculum, and no book. Except the sophomore class had 2 books, and one of the books said it all. This was like a divine laugh at me. The title of the book was, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Those were the worst 6 months of my life. I ended up 3 times in the hospital, appendicitis had leaked out, and I was old man ran a red light and hit my car and totaled it with me in it. I would never give up that time. When I went there, and I'm wrestling with these students, I made a commitment. That I would not be simply the gabacho, the white guy. That I belonged to them. I belonged to them. My commitment to myself at that time was I would look and celebrate the goodness in every one of those kids. And that began what eventually became 11-year stint at Cathedral High School. If you had to say to me, hey, you can be a priest, or you can give up those 11, or keep those 11 years. Be a priest and give it up, or keep those 11 years. I would keep those 11 years. I belonged. I discovered I could love those students. I discovered I could have an impact. Those were the happiest days of my entire life. Belonging is not a matter of others accepting you, but you're accepting them. You're reaching out. Sometimes in our loneliness and that emptiness and that silence scream, we crawl in the hole and die. It's to reach out. That's where you become alive. It's taking the adventure, doing the risk, saying, I belong to you. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He came to love us, to call us, and to say, I belong to you. Isn't that what he says at every Mass? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. He's still pouring himself into you. He's still giving to himself to you. He belongs to you. And it was his delight. It was his delight. So in today's reading, and the Spirit descends, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. Every one of you had chrism poured over your head at baptism. Those who were confirmed, you were anointed again with chrism again. You were given a share in Jesus' own mission in life. So it really should read this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, every one of you, because he has anointed you to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year of jubilee to the Lord. We'll never understand Jesus if we think that he did it all, mounted that cross out of mere obedience or duty. He did it out of delight. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was hell. But you're willing to give everything and not hold back when you do it out of that kind of care and love. He does it to you. He says, I belong to you. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, two rules. Make rejoicing in the Lord your strength. Be a gift. Make yourself a gift to someone else, right? Then you will belong. The Spirit has given you incredibly different gifts. The way you do it will be different for different people. But he floods his charisms, his gifts on you. You heard about it in that second reading. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. Different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. God wants you all to be a channel of his love and grace. But that only begins that you first made rejoicing in the Lord your strength. You let him flood you with his life, flood you with his care, knowing that that love, that care cannot be taken away. Even by your brokenness and sinfulness, God loves you radically still. So, what's your duty in life? Little stewardship spirituality here, folks. Real simple. The first gift, the greatest gift God gave every one of you is you. Will you accept yourself gratefully? Will you accept who you are gratefully as uniquely made by God? Number one, you are my beloved in whom I delight. Number two, well, will you develop yourself responsibly? Well, I guess you are. You're all here at Stanford, or you've been work here at Stanford, or you're part of this community. You're doing that. Will you share yourself lovingly? Will you push yourself to be a gift? Huh? Because we all have to return to God with increase, i.e., to be the best version of ourselves, right? But it all begins in one very simple place. I've heard God say to me, "You are my beloved in whom I delight." And I've made my life based on that simple principle. Make rejoicing in the Lord your strength. And then you all will have the ministry of touching hearts.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.